Executive orders, late-night tweets, alternative facts, all coming at a frenzied pace. Many of you may be exhausted trying to keep up with the news coming out of the Trump White House. Tech entrepreneur Jan Miksovsky understands that. He didn't want Trump to win the election, but now he's trying to catalog all the news on the Trump administration at a website he built called Presterity. The name's a combination of the words press and posterity. Miksovsky created the site as a reaction to the election of Donald Trump, but it was a little bit of a delayed reaction.
I think after the election, it was probably 3 weeks of just shock and, you know, despair. I really had no sense of what I could do. And, you know, I was concerned about the fear of information overload. And even just during the campaign, it was hard to keep up. So I was really concerned about, you know, what would happen when there were not just 20 bad things happening every day, but 200. And it was only around the end of November that I began trying to sort of shake off my despair and think about this as maybe a designer or a technologist would, which is be to, you know, that's my background. I've done that for 30 years. Like, what can I, as someone who tries to design solutions to problems, contribute? And so I began to think, is there a problem in here that I can help solve? And I decided to focus on that problem of information overload and documenting facts.
So tell me about the site and, mm-hmm. and what does it do?
So the site is created by volunteers as a way of documenting the events of the Trump administration and with a particular focus of news of concern. So we're trying to take when we see something go by in the daily news cycle that's alarming to us and we think is either something of historical importance or of particular concern to a group, then we flag it for inclusion in the site. And then we have a process by which people organize that information into a site that anybody can come to and become informed.
So who is this website intended for?
The main audience we view the site for are people who are working on the front lines of resistance. So it could be advocacy groups. It could be watchdog organizations like the ACLU. It could be legislative staff in different state campaigns, and then citizen activist groups. So if someone's trying to understand a particular topic and wants to have essentially a dossier created for them on the topic, then they can go to the site and find everything about the Dakota Access Pipeline or Trump's misogyny, say. And so we look at ourselves as essentially a reference desk for the resistance. We have no big egos. We're happy to play a supporting role in this story to create this resource that these other groups can use.
If it's mostly just aggregating mainstream media articles, though, I mean, how is it any different than going to Google and just searching Dakota Access Pipeline?
One of the challenges when you're trying to understand a particular topic is a basic challenge is understanding a sequence of events. So as a starting point, we create for each topic a timeline that makes it much easier for someone to see how the thinking on a particular topic has evolved or where something came from. And it helps to place other information in context. So if you're researching a particular story or a particular bill, you may have an article that you found through Google that's got a date on it, and you want to understand where did this fit in the timeline of events. Was this before Trump said that horrible thing or after he said the horrible thing? And so having a timeline to refer to really helps organize that that consideration of the topic. So that's a key thing, is to be able to have a picture of the whole story as it unfolds. And that's something that you can't get from Google or Wikipedia or some other site. So that's a key thing.
Do you expect the vast majority of the readers of the site will be people who are anti-Trump? I mean, you're not expecting any supporters of Trump to be visiting anytime soon.
No, you know, they've proven resistance to facts already, so I don't think we're going to be the ones to change their minds. I think that, you know, we welcome contributions and readership across the political spectrum. So I think to the extent that this is anti-Trump, many people will look at it as being liberal. I look at it really as anti-Trump and sort of anti-lying. So if you're a conservative and you're concerned about things that Trump is saying about interfering with the free market or free trade, then, you know, you should be able to come to the site and find news that's relevant to you. And we would welcome contributions from someone like that.
You said earlier that after the election, you were really shocked by the results. And I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing about how we've each been, you know, both sides of the political spectrum have been sort of encased in their own bubbles and not really understanding the other side. And I know you're not a journalist, so you'd have no obligation to fairness in this issue. But isn't a website like this sort of allowing people to become more encased in their bubbles rather than trying to get out of their bubbles?
I do, you know, struggle with the question of how do we avoid making the situation worse as we try and share our information? How do we do it in a way that is not targeted solely at people who are already living in a particular news bubble, but do that in a way that could be appealing to a broad range of people? But as you say, I'm not a journalist and I'm no media innovator here. So I think we just do our best job at focusing on facts and then hope that that will be enough.
So in the little summaries that you write, are you trying to keep a neutral tone or is it really written for people that you know share your political views?
I wouldn't say that they share our political views. I think that, you know, and there's a range of contributors to the site. Like, I wouldn't say that everyone who's contributing to the site shares a consistent political outlook. I think the main qualification to join the project is to be deeply skeptical of Trump and his administration. And that does create a sort of lens. We focus our attention, so to use those summaries as an example, when we're trying to summarize a topic, our interest is not in describing things that Trump has done that are positive on that topic. If that were to happen, if there were to be a positive development, Trump himself and all of his supporters will take care of making sure people know about it. Like, I don't feel like we're going to have to work hard to get that word out. I think really our focus is on documenting the events that the administration and Trump himself are trying to twist or alter or skew to their favor.
So this seems like a pretty big endeavor for volunteers, and you have a full-time job. I'm sure this is taking up a lot of your time. How do you justify this time personally? Like, why is this important for you to do?
It's such a hard thing to answer. The first person that I talked to about the project was my wife, because I realized that if I were going to do this, it would take a lot of time. And so that would take me away from my family time. I have my wife and I have three kids. I love to spend time with them. And I've always, as in my working life, tried to keep a very clear boundary between my work time and my family time and keep that family time set aside. And since this was going to come out of that, I needed to sort of run that by her and see what she thought. And she asked me the question, do you want to do this or do you feel compelled to do this? And after thinking about it, I said, I think I feel compelled to do it. Like, this isn't something necessarily that I even want to be doing. Like, I don't relish the idea of spending 4 years, you know, spending my nights and weekends trying to document facts as they unfold when, you know, everybody should be doing that, and that shouldn't be a question. But that said, I think we're living in a reality where there are people resistant to facts and who are trying very, very hard to put out accounts of things that have happened that are counter to fact. And so I feel compelled to try and do my part to call out if the emperor isn't wearing any clothes. I want to say he's not wearing any clothes. And I think a lot of the people on the project feel similarly.
That was tech entrepreneur Jan Miksovsky. He runs Presterity in his spare time. We're tweeting out a link to Presterity now.